this morning, this word was laid on my heart about 2 months ago. And I woke up, I remember waking up and thinking, you know, I just want to shout from the rooftops that I'm a Christian. Because I go about my daily life and I don't really sort of, people know that I'm a Christian and people know I go to church, but I just woke up this morning and God, I just had a pen in my hand and I'm writing away, and I just believe that God wants us to just know one or two things that we already know, but he just wants us to remind us. So, you know, I've titled it, it's a strange word, but I've titled it, if you want a title, Closet Christians. And I just want to talk a little bit about how open we are as Christians. And I know that it's been spoken of here, and no doubt it'll be spoken of again. And I know, like I said, people know we go to church, people know that we believe in God. But is that enough? You know, God's saying, is that enough that people know what you're doing about it? And we know that, you know, we can talk to our friends because we feel safe. We can talk to fellow Christians because they understand us. And we can sort of mumble a little bit to people we met, acquaintances and strangers. But do we actually stand up and be counted? Do we actually sort of say, I am a Christian, hallelujah? Do we do that? And I doubt a lot of us do. And I'm including myself in this. And why? Why don't we? What are we afraid of? And when I was thinking about that, it made me think of the word closet. And as Duncan does, I know, he looks these things up in the dictionary or Wikipedia just to see what the word closet means. And among other things, it means to keep something secret, to hide, to put your clothes away or to hide something. I just felt that, you know, why should we keep Jesus secret? Why should we keep our Christian faith secret? And on Wikipedia, that was in the Chambers Dictionary, that we keep is to keep something secret. On the Wikipedia, and I'm just getting myself around all these things on the internet, it says, among other things, it says, figuratively, a closet is a place where one hides things. Thus, closet as an adjective means secret. And then also, to come out of the closet is to admit your secrets publicly. And we know that, you know, in this day and age, lots of there are certain group of people that they come out, and we sort of and they're sort of really happy that they've come out and let people know what it is that they've been keeping secret. And you know, it's not for me to sort of say what they do, why they do it, and all this sort of stuff. But you know, they're so happy and they just get on with their lives and just live openly. So why can't we just live openly as Christians? Why can't we walk down the street and people see, oh, there's a Christian walking down the street? You know, why can't we be as open and get in our lives and just let everybody know? Was just a comparison, and yeah, you know, we're born again, and so therefore, for a day or two, or a week or two, and occasionally a month or two, you know, oh, I'm born again and I'm a Christian, but that seems to fade, and you know, we know that when we get, you know, when we're born again, and people in the church are happy for us, and we our friends, our family, when we first tell them, even though they might not understand. But then, you know, and we're told what books we should read and what meetings we should go to. but do we shout it from the rooftops? And this is the thing that morning when I woke up, you know, I wanted to get out of bed. In fact, I did, and I stood where people that know where I live, and I stood and I looked over the village, and I said, thank you, Lord. But I feel now I should have gone onto the roof and shouted it. But, you know, that's what I really feel that we should be doing. We should be making a noise.
Yes.
And sort of saying, yes, Lord, we're here for you. We're going to let people know, and we're going to get in your face if necessary. Because other groups get in people's faces. Yeah. So why don't we? What is it that's holding us back? And it really, you know, it really spoke to me that we were just too scared. And what are we scared about? I mean, when I think, you know, we should be proud. Yeah. We should be proud of who we are in Christ. And that we want to let everybody know. And forgive me if I'm generalising, because I do know some people are further on than perhaps I am. But we should be proud, and we should be making a noise, and we should be in people's faces. And this is what God was saying to me, you know, why is everybody so quiet about what I've done for them? Why is everybody scared of what's going to happen? And what's man done for me personally? But it's caused me grief, it's made me feel bad about myself, it's made me doubt myself, man's, you know, done all sorts of things for me personally. I don't know about everybody out there. But Jesus has done everything for me. So I'm quick perhaps to moan sometimes about what somebody's done. I'm as quick to say what God has done, what Jesus has done. And sometimes we do, you know, major on the negative and not, yes, the Lord is in me, the Lord, I've got the Lord, you know, is my God, and what this is what he's done for me. And another example, that the thing for me as well, what really spoke to me was, when we went to Herpa, Avira, for a meeting a way back, they sang this satirical song, which really made me, and I haven't got the words, but it really made me smile. And I was thinking, you know, how true was this song? It was about how we attend meetings, I don't know if you remember that, but how we attend meetings and with each other, and it was so busy meeting at this meeting in this church and that meeting in that church that we don't meet with people who don't know Jesus. That we just don't have the time. We're so busy running around with church and getting too busy that we don't actually do what Jesus would have us do, which is to meet with people that don't know him. To meet with people, because it's safe, we're comfortable, and we're safe. And yes, we laughed at this song, but I thought, yeah, that's so true. And I was thinking that, you know, I wish I could have asked for the song so I could have read it out, because it's so, so true. And we, you know, we love to meet with like-minded people. And yes, that is important, because that helps us. That helps us to meet with family, it helps us to reground ourselves, it helps us to get into the presence of God, and we need that. But not really to the exclusion of being here and doing what we're supposed to do, which is getting out and meeting people that don't know Jesus. And I think that, you know, if every one of us here brought somebody to know God, and then they did, how much that would, you know, please God, you know, how much is that not what we're called to do? And sometimes we think, well, we've been good and we've gone to church and we've gone to that meeting and, oh, and I'm too tired to do anything else. I mean, just could do it, you know, particularly in the past when we were doing all the things we were doing. They were out meeting the people and letting people know what they were doing. Amanda does the same. And I'm not saying we don't, but what I'm saying is I think is we don't do it enough. And it's making me feel, oh, she thinks you say this, but it's true, I feel. It's true, we don't do it enough. You know, we go from here, home, we might go on the beach. And another thing that put me in mind, excuse me, was that couple that was on the plane when I was coming back one day, and I know she was sat next to me, and the next day she turned up in church, and I was mortified, because we recognise each other, and I thought, she's going to know I'm a Christian, and I didn't speak to her on the plane, and I'm thinking, you know, why not? Because I was scared. And that, it, just little things like that, and I think that's what we've got to do. Just talk to people and just say, yes, you know, how are you, and then get talking about who we are, and what we believe, and what God's done for us. It's just almost as simple as that. We've got to get out of this closet mentality, if you like, and say, it's not my secret, it's not a secret, it's what we've got to do. And I just feel sometimes, you know, we talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? And as I say, I don't apologise in a way if it makes you uncomfortable, because it made me uncomfortable when I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, yes it does. And in Acts, it just brought me to mind, in Acts, when it says Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute, that even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one? And now you have betrayed him and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through the angels, but not obeyed it. And in a sense, we are betraying God by not speaking about him. And you know, we should be so pleased with what he's done. Stephen was stoned to death for speaking out to those who needed to hear about the way that they were living. And again, another thing that comes to mind for me was when Pastors David and Tony came over, and we were having coffee at in one of the Spanish, not Los Clares, but one of the Spanish coffee places. And when the waiter came to take the order, Pastor David just shook his hand and said, God bless you. And he was a bit bemused, and Phil sort of explained to the waiter what he'd said and what he'd done. And he went away with a smile on his face. It was just, to me, that struck me, it was just a simple action. You know, God bless you. You know, you're serving us. God bless you. Thank you. Not just a thank you, but God bless you. And thought, God into it. And it was just over and done fairly quick. But that waiter, I felt, you know, he went away with a spring in his step, that somebody actually noticed him. He wasn't just a waiter. He was somebody, you know. And that spoke to me, and I thought, yeah, why, you know, why can't I do that? Because all these things, I was thinking, why can't I do that? And why can't I do that? And you know, we go for Australia, for instance, and I know they speak English, and I know that we're church people, but how many of us, and I know one or two of them, but how many of us have actually spoken to them of our belief, of how deep we believe? How many of us? And we all go. And it's the same anywhere, and it's just simple actions that we can do, that can say, yeah, this is who I am. I'm a child of the living God. This is who I am. And I'm proud of it. Not, oh, I'm a child of the living God, and oh dear me, should I say this? No, we've got to stand up and, as I say, and be counted. And it should be in us without trying. We go about our daily lives, and there are certain traits that we have, but this trait should be in us. We shouldn't even have to think about it. It's in us. It's just there. And that's, you know, we should just do it naturally. It should be a natural instinct, really. Yeah. You know, we go and we sort of say, oh, it's a lovely day today, and oh, what about the football, and oh, what about this, and you know, not oh, isn't God great today, look at this beautiful weather he's sent us, and just things in the same vein that we do when we talk about every day. And I mean, you know, Jesus was tortured and killed for us in a horrific way. So why are we ashamed to be Christians? Why are we ashamed to acknowledge what he's done for us? Because that's what I feel. We're almost ashamed that, you know, it's almost as if we were hiding. And we shouldn't be. In Matthew 27:28, it says, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, the King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. So, you know, why are we ashamed that of Jesus that has done this for us? Why are we not so grateful? So grateful that he's changed our lives and he went, well, what he went through for every single one of us. Everybody that sat here and those who aren't able to be here this morning. Why are we ashamed? And why aren't we sort of every day grateful? Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. If our house was on fire and the fireman came and rescued us, how grateful would we be to that man? How grateful would we be that he saved our life? And how often would we talk about it? That's just a small example, but how grateful would we be that he has saved our lives, that we are living, because that man climbed into our house and saved us. Well, Jesus did not much more than that. Much, much more. So how grateful should we be? Why shouldn't we stand up and say, I am a child of the living God. I am a Christian. Christ is in me. Why don't we? Why aren't we? And when we move, we're going to have to do this more and more. We're going to have to let people know who we are, so that when they see us coming down the street, they're happy to see us. They're happy to see, you know, oh, there's a Christian, there's a child of the God, of the living God, and I want to talk to them. We need to let them draw to us. That's what we need. We need to have this magnetic feel about us that it will draw them to us. Yeah. So, you know, why are we so scared? And I just think it's a fear of rejection. You know, fear of people rejecting us. Fear of what they might say or walk away or... So what? So what? You know, Jesus was rejected, and look what he went through, and he went through it, and he didn't have to. I mean, we know now that it was part of God's plan, but people at the time didn't know that. I mean, Jesus did. But you know, we can't suffer any more than Jesus suffered. He's done it. He suffered. So you know, what's the worst of these things? Just a bit of water. Somebody walk away. Well, they walk away. Somebody might even swear at you. It's a word. It can't hurt us. So why? You know, we've got to get away from this mentality of you know, what if, and I'm scared, and just think, you know, Jesus did what he did for us. We should be forever, ever grateful. And I'm sure we are. But, you know, we're called to let it be known that we're not afraid. And there are one or two other religious organisations, and I'm just thinking of the Jehovah's Witnesses that go knocking door to door. Well, we mentioned knocking door to door in this church, for instance. Oh no, I'm not fancy doing that. And I know that's not what we do. But I mean, you know, they do it, whether they want to or not, they do it. And they're in people's faces. You know, whatever we agree or disagree on, they are there, out there, in people's faces, and that's what we need to do, in a sense. We need to be in people's faces. You know, this is what I believe, anyway. And I'm talking to myself. And Jesus was rejected, but he didn't let that stop him from doing the job that his Father had sent him to do. And sometimes he just, you know, walked amongst the people. Sometimes he did miracles, sometimes he preached, sometimes he was feeding the people, but he was there. Whatever he was doing, he was there, out in amongst the people. not shut up in a room having a little meeting and talking about it. Yes, as I said, don't get me wrong, we need Bible studies, we need to regroup and encourage one another, we need all this. But he was there amongst the people, instead of shut up in his little closet and thinking, oh no, I can't do this, I can't do that. So we need to get out of our comfort zones and emulate what Jesus did. And he was tired, and yes, he took himself away sometimes just to be with the Lord, just to, again, to re-strengthen himself. But he was tired, and you know, he did it for 3 years non-stop. So, you know, we've got even longer than that. So we've got to be there, in the group, in the home. And so that people want to come round us and hear what we're saying and hear what we're doing and feel the presence of God. Because it isn't about us, it's about what Jesus in us and about what we've got. And that's what we've got to do. And people need to know who Jesus is. He needs to know the revelation of who he is. And we say it often and often and often, that God has given us the ability to handle any and all situations if we trust him. And why wouldn't we trust him? Why wouldn't we trust the fact that Jesus died for me and for you, and he called us all to go into the nation and to preach the good news, to tell the good news? And that means everybody, all nationalities, cultures, rich, poor, and everybody in between, children, everybody. Just, you know, we've got to trust and believe that he can help us handle any and every situation. And in Matthew 5:13-16, you know, we've got to be the salt and the light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we are a beacon. Yeah. You know, we are a lighthouse. Maybe we should be called a lighthouse. But, you know, we are, and that is a responsibility, don't get me wrong, because we don't have to just say things. People notice how we're living our lives. They notice, you know, if we're living as a Christian. And we're going to fail sometimes because we're not perfect, we're not Jesus, but we've got to try and emulate as best we can, you know, the way he was, the way he lived. And you know, we hear of people going to foreign countries, of missionaries and people going on sabbaticals and going where they don't know the language, because this is another thing that we're quick to say, and I feel, you know, sometimes it gets me a bit mad, because we do live in Spain and people are going to speak Spanish. So either we learn the language or we mime and get by, but whatever we do, you know, we are here and this is where God's brought us, we believe, so we've got to communicate with them. And you know, so, you know, people don't know the language. And we live among people. But we've got to do as Jesus did. And I suspect that maybe, well, he would know all the different languages. But again, with the people he mixed with, they all spoke different languages. But he got across to them. They knew what he was about. And we need to reach out and be counted and show the love of God. And give the people of Spain good news. And if we only can learn one or two phrases that will speak to the Spanish people, then let's do that. We'll be singing one or two of the songs, and when we move more into the community, we're going to have to, you know, let people as they're walking by or nearby, they're going to hear, oh, that's in Spanish. Oh, let me listen to that. Let me hear what's going on. And that will draw people, and that's what we need to do. And you know, we need to let them know the good news. And this good news can be shown in actions as well as words, a smile, a greeting, an invite for coffee, lots of different things. And it doesn't matter, as I said, that we don't speak their written language, but we will be speaking God's language of love, which has been said today. You know, we will be speaking His language of love and compassion for all people. Not, oh, there's a little Christian church down there, and they keep themselves to themselves, and, you know, and they shut the doors when they go in, and they shut the doors, and they don't even say hello or smile when they walk past us. You know, what example is that of God's love, if that's what we're doing? And one of the reasons that we're moving is so we can be in near other people and get out of our little comfort zones and our little closets and just, you know, open the door wide and say, here we are, you know, we've come out, sort of thing. If Jesus were here, we would be at His side letting people know we were Christians. Wouldn't we though? We would. We would say, I want to be near Jesus. And we'd be like the disciples, you know, who's the best and who's doing the most and all this sort of thing. Well, I'm going to tell you something now. Jesus is here. And Jesus is alive. And that's what we've got to keep telling ourselves. He's here and He is alive. He's in us. He's with us. He's around us. Do we believe it? Do we honestly believe that? Do we want to do what He set us to do? Do we trust in Him to walk with us? And if we say yes, then yes, we mean yes. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's in the Bible. So, you know, do we trust in Him to walk with us? So we need to be refired. As the day we gave our lives, we need to be out there and we need to be refired. Because for us folks, and this has been said, time's running out for us, time's running out for the world, and we want everybody we know that we come in touch with, contact with, we want them to know that there is a life eternal. We don't want them to think, you know, if we don't talk to people and tell them and let them know about Jesus, A, we're failing God, and B, if there's a possibility if nobody else has, then we're going to go to hell. We don't want that. We want them to go to heaven. We want them to know the everlasting God. So, you know, we need to get out of our little wardrobe, our little cubby hole, and get out, open the door, get out there and say, we are here on God's business. We mean business for God. We need to know and let it be known that we are people of action, not be wishy-washy Christians. And we need to do it with enthusiasm. We need to do it because it's in us, like breathing is in us. We need to breathe it. We need to just live it. And why wait for somebody else to do what we are called to do? Now, a while back, many years ago, somebody gave me a tea towel. And I'm just going to read what it says on this tea towel, okay? It's a story about four people, you might have heard it, named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. And there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that, because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that everybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. In other words, that's us. So we expect somebody to do it, or anybody to do it, or nobody does it. And that's what we do, and I know that's what we all do. Well, somebody else will do it. Well, that's not my thing. Well, they're better at it than I am. Oh, I thought somebody had done it already. You know, well, we're called to do it ourselves, and if we do it, it doesn't matter if somebody, everybody, anybody, or nobody does it. what we're going to do. And I just want to sort of really sort of say, just to finish, that this is what I believe God is saying to us. Get out of your comfort zone, get out of your closet, declare who you are in me, in Him, and be proud of it. Be proud of who we are in God. And that's my challenge. Admit that you are a child and a follower of the living God, and that you are proud to be known as a Christian. Amen. Amen.